This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, October 16th. Well, I apologize for being away for a while. It seems like by the time I get to the podcast in the morning, the day's half over. It's just been swamped this week. So apologize, but I definitely wanted to get one in before the week was out. And boy, it's been quite a week for wheat. We've had a run here. Minneapolis has been up 15, but KC's been up 20, Chicago up 24. So Chicago leading the way here. And this has been the driver from kind of spillover of the rally that we've seen over the last at least good month. And that's been the dryness in Russia. Now, the previous week we had a bit of a pullback as the forecast started to bring rain into that region of the Black Sea. Now, as we come into the end of this week, those forecasts are not verifying very well, and they're starting to move rain out of the forecast. So we're going to continue for another at least week of dryness in the Black Sea region, in that critical southern region of Russia, which is where most of their exportable supplies normally come from. That has created some hoarding, basically, by farmers who had a short crop there, but the rest of Russia had a stellar crop. So we're not seeing much selling from farmers there. We're seeing some pretty slow planting progress as well. Although the reports are showing that winter wheat planting is about 84% complete. It looks like they're just dusting it in, hoping for something before the winter comes. And that would be fine. Excuse me, that's what happens here. They'll dust it in. And if it doesn't look good in the spring, then they'll plant something else. And I would imagine that's what farmers are thinking there as well. But on top of that, so you had the southern region, which normally supplies most of the exportable supplies. They had a short crop. Farmers have been very slow sellers, and now they're even slower sellers because of the dry conditions showing up there. So exporters who have been forward contracting and forward selling throughout the growing season now are having to deliver, and they're trying to load out this wheat that's simply not there in the southern region. They've had to reach much further inland, which we knew they were going to do, but it's going to cost them more, which has pushed up FOB prices, which has pushed up world prices. But they're running into logistics problems now. That wheat is far too expensive to move by truck, so they're moving it by rail, and it's causing a significant amount of congestion on the rail lines, and so they're not getting enough supply to fill these ships that are waiting in the ports to be loaded. The one notable one that we're hearing is to Egypt. They're having difficulty loading out the vessels for the contracts that were supposed to be delivered in late October. So it's an interesting scenario in Russia going on. They had their second biggest wheat crop ever, but it wasn't close to where the ports are. Now, what we're also hearing is that as the harvest is wrapping up, they're saying 98% is done. That actually the spring wheat crop was coming in even bigger than what the early reports were. So there are some estimates floating around of a 97 million ton wheat crop. Sovcon had them at 93, USDA bumped it up to 93 million tons, but if you're looking at 97, that puts you into a record territory. So it's not like the wheat's not there, it's just not easily accessible. So again, it's pushing up their FOB offers, which they set world price, basically, so world prices are moving higher. Exporters are looking for other sources, but Europe is still higher priced than Russia even. So it's given Russian exporter a lot of room to move up their FOB offers, but of course they made contracts a couple months ago, and so they're probably losing money at this point. So they're in a little bit of a scramble. At the same time, we're hearing that China's back in the market shopping wheat. They're looking at Europe, of course the Black Sea, and of course the United States. They're also looking at Australia. Obviously, Australia would be their first go-to source, but Australia's harvest will be starting soon, but they're looking at a significant amount of rain coming down the pike, especially for eastern Australia. So you've got some interesting dynamics going on. Western Australia wasn't as didn't have as abundant rains as the eastern half of the country did. They'll still have some wheat for export, but it's not going to be as abundant as what was initially expected. So China shopping around for wheat, course, they've been buying a grain hand over fist, especially corn and soybeans. Obviously, China is preparing for something. We're looking at another surge in COVID cases around the world, likely going to slow down commerce, but also slow down transportation as they just have to, as people stay home, they get sick. We had ran into this problem in the spring with ports, with people just not showing up to move the product. And we had a huge amount of product that was just stuck at the ports, whether it was refrigerated or not, it was just stuck there. And it just caused massive log jams. So the market is preparing for that, and China certainly is preparing for that as they watch our own COVID cases skyrocket and other countries in Europe too. And they're preparing for another, if not a lockdown, certainly a slowdown in transportation and export capability. So that's pushing them to basically hoard grain too, or at least get it on the books and have it committed to being sent to China. So there's a lot going on in this grain complex. And it's, again, you know, with wheat, you had a record world crop this year for wheat. We're looking at very dry conditions, however, for winter wheat plantings here in the U.S. and in the southern region of Russia and eastern Ukraine, two major wheat-producing areas, hard red winter wheat-producing areas. And that's what's creating the spreads between new crop KC versus Chicago has risen 30, 40 cents in the last couple months. Now, the front months had risen with KC leading the way, but Chicago has kind of taken over that these last couple days. So those spreads get a little squirrely, especially when the hedge funds are going to be looking at the wheat complex and wanting to own wheat. They're going to pour into Chicago. And this is always the issue with the front month and with hedge funds. They want to be in Chicago when it comes to wheat, even though it's hard red winter wheat that's creating the problems and the potential shortfall next year. So that's why I suggest just being in the new crops, being in the Julys. That has been much more stable and consistent in its upward trek. And the other reason is, as we work through our harvest here for corn and beans, it's been a fast harvest. Weather has just been absolutely ideal for harvest. And with the early harvest and the opening up the fields, I think you're going to see a lot more soft red wheat be planted. For that reason, plus economically, it's looking like it's going to pay to do the double crop, soft red wheat, and then soybeans rather than just corn. And I think you're going to see a significant amount of that. It's going to completely change the fundamental dynamics of the wheat space as we get into the next crop year. You're going to see probably no more hard red winter wheat acres be planted, and probably fewer because of the dry conditions and just the general move away from wheat. Why grow wheat in the southern plains when corn prices are what they are, soybean prices are soaring? Those crops are much more attractive than wheat, and you can't graze it off because it's drought, and it's too late to get it established well enough to put cattle on it, which is, I think, kind of partly what's affecting your feeder cattle market. But that's another story. That's for the cattle podcast. What I'm saying is, I think that as you get into next year, and of course the Julys are the new crop months, but hard red winter wheat supplies will be significantly tighter, soft red will be significantly looser. And that spread is already showing that. And even when the old crop, the December contracts, Chicago leads the way higher over Kansas City, the new crop is different. KC leads over Chicago. And I think that in itself is telling that we're on the right track when it comes to the new crop wheat and what the fundamental structure will be next year. Now, you would think you'd get some pullbacks, but we haven't seen very many of them on that new crop. It's been just consistently moving higher over the last few weeks, and even since early August, it's been pretty steadily up. We're getting into some notable resistance levels at the minus 30 area. You might see a bit of a pullback, but at minus 50, I'd be getting back into that spread. So that's where we want to be. I think that's probably our best bet as far as a long-term strategy, just buying KC July 21, selling Chicago July 21 as well. We're also seeing some more of the national news pick up on the stories of wheat hoarding, countries stocking up on wheat, Jordan, Egypt, buying way more than they normally do, which we were seeing Egypt was in every week, buying almost consistently and exclusively Russian wheat, and now Russia's having trouble filling those contracts. But also just talking about food shortages in general, COVID popping up again, government stimulus kind of running out of gas, all kinds of reasons that food shortages are showing up at the same time countries are trying to hoard or at least get sales on the books. So when you're cutting huge crops of corn and soybeans, and of course those numbers got lower because of the stocks report and the last S&D report, but still you're in a harvest of a very rapid harvest, and yet the market has just consistently rallied higher as China has just been in the market almost every day for U.S. corn and soybeans, and it's pushed those prices higher, even as rains have come to Brazil, that, you know, paving the way for massive crops of soybeans in Brazil. So those are the things we're looking at. It would appear that wheat has certainly, obviously, shaken off the bear market and probably even started a bull market, surprisingly, given that we've had record production. But the price action has been very strong, and I think that we're in a situation where we can look at buying breaks. I think the breaks will be well supported. I don't think the Russian farmer is going to let loose of wheat anytime soon, which is going to force the exporter to go further inland, which just pushes world prices higher. And even with the tightness in filling ships, they're going to have to source it from somewhere. They may take a loss, but they've got to fill those contracts. So that's just pushing world prices higher. So we'll see where we go. I think, you know, we've had a good run here. Wheat has a tendency to blow up quickly and then pull back, and blow up quickly and then pull back. So that's kind of what we're looking at. A surge higher, we'll get a pullback. Breaks will be well supported. At the same time, you do have the harvest that's going to be kicking into high gear here in a couple weeks in the southern hemisphere. You're going to see a lot more wheat coming into the pipeline. So I would expect that the markets will calm down for this next few or a couple months at least, as we get into Dec and January in particular. Argentine and Australian wheat will be in the pipeline, and that will, I think, calm the markets down. But as you get into the spring, I think it's going to start up again. You know, the Russian farmer's not going to let go of his wheat until he sees it growing. Or if he plants another crop in the southern region, that's it. That's all he's got left over. He may have to move it before the harvest, but that won't happen until June of next year. So there's a lot of reasons to be on a bullish track here for grains in general, wheat in particular. But I do think as the southern hemisphere harvest rolls in, it's going to, you know, calm down. You'll probably settle into a range, but then have another run up as you get into the spring. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities. You can reach me at 1-800-888-9843.